Item on the agenda is House File 407 and House File 341, Representative Creasel's bill as well as Representative Greiling's bill. Representative Creasel, if you want to go ahead and go to the testifiers table. And Representative Creasel, at the appropriate time, I will move that your bill be laid over for possible inclusion in a later piece of legislation, but at this time we do not have a quorum, so I am reluctant to do that. But go ahead and welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record and talk about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is John Creasel. I represent District 57A, and I'm here to present House File 407, which is a bill that will repeal the statute that allows the state of Minnesota to borrow money from school districts in order to solve the state's cash flow problems. Right now, the state can borrow money from a school district's operating fund reserves. The caveat is that the state cannot borrow money from districts whose reserves are below $700 per pupil. The current statute encourages school districts to spend down their reserves in order to prevent the state from borrowing the money, and in the process penalizes districts that have done the difficult job of preserving a reserve of funds. What this bill will do is prevent the state from balancing its cash flow issues on the backs of school districts' reserves. And there, Mr. Chair, there are people here to testify in favor of this bill.
All right, well, if you want to have those presenters come forward, this would be the appropriate time for that.
Okay.
Member of the public, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, my name is Kirk Schneider. I'm on staff with the Minnesota School Boards Association. And this is a position, as you know, we have a very grassroots effort in terms of forming our legislative platform. And this was one of those issues that came before our membership this last year and was supported by the Delegate Assembly to repeal the provision that that allows the state to essentially borrow money from school districts with the piece that they will pay them back in the spring. And I think the issue for many school districts was that they felt that they had managed their resources and then all of a sudden they didn't have that opportunity to manage them anymore. And so in the short term, it requires school districts to do some short term borrowing to meet their own salary schedules, pay schedules, and I think that what we would prefer is the repeal of this, and we understand what some of the alternatives may be, and that complicates issues, of course, but our membership would certainly support the repeal of this and have that discussion about what are some other options the state may take looking when they have a tough budget situation.
Thank you. Representative Creasel, do you have any other testifiers who wish to testify in favor of this bill, or did you perhaps bring testifiers who are against your bill that you want them to testify against your bill?
I did not, Mr. Chair. I believe it was Grace Kelleher. She was also here to testify in favor of the bill, but she had to run and grab some papers, she said.
Okay.
So as of right now, these are the testifiers that I have.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Creasel. And now this is a public hearing. Are there any members who wish to any members of the public who wish to testify either for or against this bill? Do you wish to testify against this bill, Department of Education? No, I'm just kidding. All right. And Representative Creasel, we do have a quorum now, so we'll call the meeting officially to order. And the chair will move House File 407 for possible inclusion in a later piece of legislation. We'll close testimony then. Any questions from members of the committee? Thoughts? Representative Kelly? Okay. Any other members of the committee? All right, seeing none, the chair renews his motion to have House File 407 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you, Representative Creasel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
And the chair will also move, Representative Ward, would you be willing to, we can wait till Representative Greiling gets here to move her bill. It's identical language, but I told her that we would we would move her bill as well and lay it over for possible inclusion. Would you be willing to do that, or should we wait for Representative Greiling to get here?
Mr. Chair, I'm willing to do that if that'd be the chair. Do you want me to do the testimony on it as well?
No, it's the Representative.
Just move it, right?
Yeah, it's the same bill, but I promised Representative Greiling
that
we would move her bill.
So I would like to move House File 341 to be held over for possible inclusion and to a later bill.
All right, and members, Representative Ward moves that, and members, this is the, not essentially, it is the same piece of legislation that we just heard from Representative Creasel. If anyone has any discussions on this one, I'd like to hear that, but seeing none, the chair will lay that bill over as well, and thank you very much, Representative Ward. The next item on our agenda is House File 257. This is the Bills Bill. Representative Bills, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And excuse me, hold on. Representative Bills, did you bring treats?
Did I bring treats?
You're a first-term member of this committee. This is your first bill. Where's the treats?
I thought saying Bills Bill was the treat.
No. You did not, Representative Bills, did you not bring treats for the committee?
I actually, Mr. Chairman, deferred that to Representative Fabian.
Okay.
I did not bring treats.
Excuse me, Representative Ward, do you have a motion for us at this time regarding this bill?
I really like Representative Bills, Mr. Chair, and since I so much respect and appreciate him, I'll just move that he be allowed the flexibility to bring treats at any point in time that he wants.
All right, Representative Bills, I guess we'll let it go this time. So welcome to the committee, and Representative Bills moves House File 257 for possible inclusion in a later bill. Welcome to the committee, Representative Bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And House File and committee members, House File 257 establishes an early graduation scholarship program. And I would also, at this point, like to offer an amendment, Mr. Chair.
No, Representative Bills, I'm going to wait for Representative Greiling to get here because this the timestamp on this is within the 24 hours, and that's the same courtesy she used to show to me last session. So if you could explain, without moving the amendment, explain the amendment, and then once Representative Greiling, if she signs off on it, or if the members of the minority party are okay with it, then we'll move forward on that. But just from a process standpoint.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I will explain the sections of the bill and the amendment at the end. In the bill, you'll find Section 1 prohibits districts from collecting revenue for students they no longer educate, as opposed to a PSEO program where they are able to collect some of that general revenue. Section 2 describes how students graduating early can qualify, discusses the scholarship amounts in reference to a time horizon, and then also establishes the institutions at which the scholarship can be used. Section 3 explains how these early graduation program savings cannot be allocated to all-day kindergarten due to the perpetuity of these dollars. And Section 4 ensures no proration of dollars to eligible students due to the perpetuity of those dollars again. And then Amendment A1 would allow for early grads who actively or in a reserve capacity deploy for 60 days or longer to attend basic, basic military training, attend military academy, or other required military duty to then be the recipients of those scholarship dollars. This, just to give you a little bit of background why I think this piece of legislation is important, for those of you who may not know, I do still currently teach, have taught for 14 years, and still teach every day seniors at Rosemount High School, just south of St. Paul, and we've had a lot of discussion about the achievement gap in this, and I'm sure in other committees. And if you could imagine that achievement gap taking place in grades 1, 2, or 3, and then what I do every day is I deal with that achievement gap when it gets to the end, when it gets to the tail. And I believe Secretary of Education Arne Duncan was in Minnesota here just a few weeks ago, and Mr. Chairman, you correct me if I'm wrong, but you quote him so much better, Mr. Chairman. Did he say that he was shocked? If I could defer to you, sir.
Yeah, Representative Bills, he did say he was shocked, and he something along the lines of it made no sense to him why we had not addressed a certain issue.
Right, not addressed that achievement gap. And if that is a growing concern, it's going to be like a large lump through a snake, if you will, as it moves through the educational system. So that gap that we have today, no matter what we do as a legislature, that gap there and it exists. We can work to try to alleviate it, but that will be working through the educational system. And again, when it gets to 12th grade, that gap is sometimes incredible. I've had classes personally where I have had students who are trying to decide between West Point, Berkeley, MIT in the same room with students who cannot read proficiently my 12th grade economics textbook, which is written at a 10.9 reading level. So if you can imagine working with 30 or 36 students like that, things like this make a difference. So in terms of thinking about the kids who suffer from that achievement gap, we have to also think about the kids who are on that middle to higher to high end, and we have to try to challenge them and get them moving through our educational system, both secondary and post-secondary, and then eventually on into the workforce. And I actually have some testifiers who are going to talk about their participation in our educational system. They've read this bill and they have some testimony to give. But I think that's why this is important. We have to offer those kids a way to take advantage of PSEO. This is no poo-pooing of the PSEO program, if you will. I think it's a great program. I think IB, International Baccalaureate, is a great program. AP, great program. CIS, great program. But just as much as we can do to encourage those kids, and to also give me the chance then as a 12th grade teacher to work with those students who have maybe some educational concerns or possibly disabilities that they're working with. So at this point, I wonder if the chair would entertain my testifiers.
Absolutely. Those testifiers, please come forward. Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record so that 100 years from now we know who you are.
My name is Alexander Dwayne Hagelin, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Well, I'm a freshman now in Minnesota State University, Moorhead, and this is my first semester there. I could have graduated from high school early, but seeing as how I had basically nothing better to do, I just went ahead and took it. And I took basically gym classes, study halls, and a vehicle services class, which basically didn't teach me anything because my whole family is mechanics. So I kind of just coasted through and then got done with it. And after reviewing the bill, seeing as how I could have had a scholarship just to graduate early, that would have been fantastic, because coming outside of basic and then finishing my senior year a semester early, I could have been able to jump on the ball and try to get some credits going, because now I'm basically a semester behind the rest of the people.
And Mr. Chair, if would you speak about your military service
then? Oh, yeah. I enlisted when I was 17. My parents signed off on the paper so I could go to basic. I went to Fort Benning, Georgia, for my basic, and then I got back just before my senior year had started. And then after my senior year, I went, it was like the middle of June or just the beginning of July, I went to Fort Lee, Virginia for my job training with the Army.
And then, thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you speak about your AIT? Yeah, if you would have been able to have.
Oh, definitely, yeah. When I was talking about how I could have tried to jump on the ball right after I graduated early to try to get some credits, with this scholarship, I would have been able to do that, because I would have had the money to go and take the classes. Because after basic, you don't get your bonus. You have to finish AIT, and then it's a couple months after you finish that they finally get you the money. And that's basically how I'm paying for the rest of my college right now, is with my bonus money. So if I would have graduated early and this bill wasn't there, there would have been no point for me to, because I wouldn't have been able to afford it. But if had I had this bill, I would have been able to pay for these classes and not be a semester behind like I am.
Good. Thank you. Members of the committee, any questions for the testifier? Thank you. Your next testifier, Representative Bills.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Annette Huebner.
Go ahead. Please proceed with your testimony.
Well, like you said, he's not trying to bash the PSEO system. I'm a freshman at Minnesota State University Moorhead, and I was a PSEO student at the University of Minnesota Morris. And still, this bill would have helped me out a lot, because even coming from, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do my junior year when I was registering for classes, and had I known this would have been an option, it would have something I would have looked into. And also, one of my friends, who is going to school with me now, graduated from her school a trimester early and went to work full-time, and she's attending school with me, and even though she had worked full-time until she came up to school, she's still having trouble paying her tuition, and this would have helped her out a lot. She's having a really, really hard time trying to go to school and work, and she would have benefited this in a lot of ways.
Super. Any other questions for members right off the testifier? Representative Bills, did you have any questions for your own testifier?
Thank you so much. But no, Annie is also from Hancock, so she is. I do have a couple of young people here from who originated out of Rosemount, but wound up in other places. But Annie's actually a representative of Westrum's in West, representative Westrum's.
Yeah, I have one more thing to say. Oh. Also, I went to a very small high school, and by one of the reasons I went post-secondary is because there was nothing else my school had to offer me. I'd pretty much taken advantage of the whole public school system, and a lot of my classmates who I wasn't attending school with anymore had shop, study hall, and then school to work. So they're going to work anyway. They're not learning any more than they can. They've already done well.
And to your final testifier?
Yes. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mariah Burns. I am a full-time employee. I work for my family business. I graduated in 2009. I graduated two trimesters early. Like I said, I work for a family business. So if I could have had this scholarship option, I could have taken some business classes to help me take over this business. And at that time, when I graduated, I did not know that I would be working for my family. So it would have helped me if I didn't have that option. If I had needed to go to school, then I would have done that. I could have taken some classes and got ahead of everyone else and actually had the money to do it.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, so this speaks to the fact that these scholarships line up again in perpetuity. So Mariah was actually in my class in the fall trimester. 2009. I think we're somewhere in there. I lose track. I've taught thousands of kids, but so Mariah went to work right away out of high school, and this would line her up to be able to go back to school again to take those business classes whenever she felt fit. Again, helping out with the family business. So, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any questions from members of the committee? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Bills. Thanks for bringing this forward. This is just exciting. But could you talk a little bit about Table 2 on page 4 of the handout and what proceeds in regard to this must be what we would project could occur? I would think number of students who would graduate early. And then could you just walk us through that a little bit to just make your point even more relevant?
Representative Erickson, you're talking about the fiscal note?
Yes, I'm sorry. Oh. I'm talking about the fiscal note. And starting on page 4, we have on pages 3 and the top, or I guess on the top of page 4, the PSEO savings. But I wanted you to comment on the scholarship costs and
Representative Bills, did you want to go through that, or did you want to have to do that?
Mr. Chair,
our staff is fine, too.
Oh, then Mr. Chair, that would be great if Mr. Strom could. I think, Representative Erickson, you're speaking to the savings, not the assessment or evaluation of how many students will take advantage of the program?
I'm starting at the bottom of page 8, Mr. Chair. Just, I thought, for some delineation of what's laid out here in this chart, and I'm looking at the narrative.
Representative Erickson, you're at the bottom of page 8, you're saying?
Page 4.
Bottom of page 4.
Of 8.
Of 8. And Mr. Crow, Mr. Strom, did you care to walk through that? The number of students graduating early, it looks like, is what Representative Erickson is looking at.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm trying to decide which is the best way to get an easy look at this. You can see the, if you look on page 7, actually, there's kind of a summary that might be a little more helpful.
Sure, let's go there.
And lines 27, and it shows the PSEO savings. There's the ADM savings that are kind of detailed through lines 26. You can see the $1,000,004 in fiscal 12 that's saved, and then there's additional PSEO savings on line 27, and they're split out because PSEO is actually funded on a current basis, and everything else is 90-10, so you have to calculate it a little bit differently. And then there's a cost of actually writing the scholarship tests, and that's detailed, or checks, and that's detailed on line 29. So the sum of those three lines is the net savings from the program. And then on line 30, they're estimating one person to administer the program in the department. So if you take the cost of checks on 29 and the cost of the person on 30, you get the total cost, the saving of $1.8 million. The total savings is on line 28, that's $3.2 million, and that's from both the PSEO and the pupil savings to get the net savings of $1.4 million. And then there's then the rest of that page there is the breakdown of the FTE cost. And then you can kind of see that the assumption is that there will be additional scholarships, and so some of the savings is eaten up as there are more and more students taking advantage of the scholarship over time.
Very good.
Representative Erickson, any other questions from members? Representative Anzels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually can see some merit to this. I question, however, why we have to pay kids to do what they're already doing. Kids are already incentivized on their own with their parents to graduate early. I just don't feel real good about having to pay them to do that, and especially in the financial situation that our districts are in, I think at the end of the day, you're taking money from the general student population as a whole and applying it to a select group. So I have a little trouble with that. And secondly, I'd feel better if on line 2.5, the words "any accredited institution of higher education," it seems to me that we are applying Minnesota state taxpayers' resources to institutions of higher learning in other states. You know, I'd feel better if we were saying Minnesota's college and university system or something like that rather than out of state. But other than that, I don't have any real strong feelings, and I'll probably vote for this.
Oh. Representative Bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anzels, I thought about the very same things, and just to speak to your concerns, and I don't know if any of, if you wouldn't mind if the young people wanted to, too, is, if that's okay. But in terms of opening this up for people, I see the AP in teaching advanced placement, government politics, and micro and macro for 14 years. I see those students, and I also see the students who come up. I call them my Arcticat boys because they always come with their Arcticat jackets on and, you know, usually oil all over their hands, and they come right out of the shop, and they know who I'm talking about. And these guys are really bright, and they're great students, too. And some of them are ready to graduate early, and possibly, I know one, for example, who went out to the Chrysler certification program at DCTC, and, he, you know, there again is a student who could have taken advantage of this early, and not necessarily the what we consider the higher-end students in AP, International Baccalaureate, or CIS, but just students from any walk of life, you know, kind of the blue-collar kids who are ready to go and spread their wings and get out of the nest, if you will. And it is tough. It is tough to look at our school districts and say, because we know where the savings come. So, Mr. Chair, I guess that's my little treat for the committee is a $1.4 million savings. But you know, and it does come out of the districts, you know, and it is difficult to do that. But then it's almost like you're a doctor and you know, wouldn't a doctor have some ethical violations if they were treating a patient who was 100% healed and gaining revenue from that? So specifically Mariah and Annie, they were ready. They were 100% there by our standards, by our statutes. They were 100% there at the end of their junior year or one trimester into their senior year. So they completed what we through legislation had prescribed for them to do. And now, and in terms of, and I do struggle, who should receive the benefit from that? This isn't giving them the whole benefit of what we pay to educate them, but it is allowing some of that to go to them and say, hey, job well done. Thanks for freeing the teachers up to work with the kids who maybe have had a tough go and are, you know, maybe suffer from some of the other, you know, some of the things that we see kids suffer from in school. So, and we can definitely spend some more time with them. But I do hear your concerns, Representative. I do. So,
Representative Reinhart, then Slocum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for my tardiness. You may have already addressed this, Representative Bills, but my question relates to current statute, which is on lines 2.25 to 2.29 in your bill. And I'm wondering if you're aware of how much money might currently be going to optional all-day kindergarten programs from funds that are attributable to these early graduates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative,
Representative Reinhart, I would have to, could I defer to Mr. Strom on that one?
Mr. Chair, members, the fiscal note in front of you tries to lay out this, and I'm just looking for the line there. There's two types of savings that are incurred. One is that the students who would be in PSEO are no longer going to be taking those PSEO classes, and the second savings that the state incurs will be the loss of revenue to districts that you're pointing out on lines 2.25 to 2.32, and that's the reallocation right now under current law. If a student graduates early as a senior, the district can continue to count that student throughout the year. And if you're looking at, I think we're going to look for the detail on that last page there that goes into line 26, the total savings. If we can find that earlier, we may see the number that the department is predicting in the fiscal note that will be the savings to the state that's the loss to the school districts. I'm sorry for the delay on this. The fiscal note just came out again yesterday, so we're having a little trouble finding that section.
Mr. Chair and members, the problem is they're adjusting in various years. So if you look on the table, It's done on a pupil count in Table 3, which is the pupil unit savings. And you can see the number of students graduating early, and then and the ADM saved by fiscal year. So they're assuming about in fiscal 12 about 235 fewer ADMs, and then increasing to 352 in 13, 436 in 14, and 540 in 15, and then that translates down below to the table 4, where it says incremental current pupil units, and I'm looking for corresponding exact numbers, and I don't think they're there because of the crossing of years issue. But basically, if you look on line 13, I guess it continues on page 7, so line 13 is the incremental adjusted marginal cost pupil units. So at the top of page 7, there's 270 fewer pupil units in fiscal 12. And then that's a slightly different number when you're calculating RMCPU for the referendum marginal cost pupil units for the purposes of referendum. So that's the 279 on line 14. Then they take those fewer pupil units and multiply by an average aid and levy, and that's on lines 15 and 16. And then on lines 18 and 19, the same thing for the referendum. So line 21 is those pupil units times about $6,000, $5,600 average revenue or average aid. So you see the aid reduction of $1.5 million.
All right.
Losing everybody?
I think we got it. Representative Briner, please tell me you had your question.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I won't try to analyze the detail in that discussion right now, but I think, Representative Bills, you understand. My concern is the districts that might currently be using that money, how will that impact them, and is that a concern? Should there be some type of a transition there? It doesn't in any way address the broad principle of your bill, but it's maybe a consequence that ought to be looked into a little more before we go to final passage on it, if you want to. And then maybe as if there are any of the K-12 organizations that are going to testify on this, they may have some point of view too, but I just think it's something we might want to understand more fully.
Representative, before you answer your question, I think Mr. Crow wanted to add on some more. Apparently his answer was not lengthy enough before. He'd like to add in some additional facts.
He needs to complete
his
sentence.
Mr. Chair and members, I apologize. The answer to your question is on line 21, the amount of line 21, 22, and 23. So line 23 shows the amount that districts of less district revenue.
Thank you. Representative Bills, to Representative Breinert's point.
Yeah, I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Breinert, I completely understand, again, the what happens to districts and the kindergarten programs. And it should be vetted and discussed. I'd offer this, is that Mariah has been paying taxes now because she was fully employed. So she's actually working full-time when she should be a senior in high school. So she's gaining full-time wages and paying, I'm not saying that she wasn't productive before, but she's a productive member of society and working to pay all the fees, taxes, and things that we go through. So I don't know where it washes out in terms of, does it benefit the district to have her, you know, now moved on, and I believe you have your own apartment and working, when she was still, should have been a senior in high school. It's pretty amazing, but we do have to discuss those things. Thank you.
Representative Slocum, and then Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I like your bill.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, I've been thinking about something similar to this, but I've also been working with, like, the Achieve Scholarships. One of the things that troubles me, and I just have just to consider this as it moves forward, is a lot of kids go to college, and there's not a lot of completion, and we need kids to complete the coursework. So would you be amenable at all or think about having the scholarship awarded at course completion when kids complete a course?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be money real well spent, because I've never espoused boring children to death, kids, young adults to death. The other thing is, how will kids learn of this option, since we decided not to maintain the effort on counselors? How will kids learn about this? I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I just couldn't help myself. We decided not to maintain the effort. How will kids know about this if it goes forward, when it goes forward?
I Representative Bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Slocum, it's amazing that you mentioned that. I was, as an econ teacher and a person who's always leery of unintended consequences and things like that, I was actually thinking about this during taxes today, during tax committee, and thinking about how do you make sure to make sure those kids are finishing up those classes. And I thought, is it a 50? Could you do a 50? Well, I would challenge anyone who's authored legislation that you didn't finish thinking about the legislation when it passed, that you always think, it's no different with teaching young people. You always think, oh, I could have done that, or we could have had this, or whatever it is, whether it's sports or academics or passing legislation. And one thing I thought of was a 50-50 or something to make sure that they were wrapping this up, and I think that could be put into the commissioner's application process. But to speak to that application process as well, I think that leads us forward in terms of how students will learn about this, especially dealing with possibly districts that don't want to publicize this if, again, when the students leave, some of our dollars go away. But just having one student who actually is following what I'm doing here, this got around to these individuals, but also when I taught my first hour class on Wednesday, I had a junior girl walk up to me and talk to me about the piece of legislation, who I'm assuming gathered it from a text message that Mr. Hagland had sent to her that he was reading this. So, and one thing that I might look to amend this or take it forward is to make some type of that application in the form and manner specified by the commissioner, is to actually make it online to make sure that they can apply and fill out this paperwork online. These kids are right here. This is it, right here. That for these individuals, this is their computer, this is their life, this is their communication network, and it's amazing how fast you just do something silly like challenge a student to see if he can carry you out of your classroom, like I did with this little guy right here one day, and see how fast that gets around, and it's amazing. So I think that might be a process of how you get this information out there as well. So if that answers your question.
Representative Slocum, do you have a follow-up?
That helps.
Thank you. Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have three comments-type questions. The first is in regards to what Representative Slocum said. I think, first of all, let me just say I support the concept. I think this is really an excellent direction to go in. First of all, though, in regards to what Representative Slocum was saying, if this would become a statewide policy, then I think kids and parents have to have options to this access to this option on a statewide basis. It can't be because some kids are better at using cell phones and have the right numbers in their cell phones and that type of thing. And so that speaks to, once again, what I was talking to the commissioner about. We have a lot of statewide accountability standards, that type of stuff in place that we have not done as a state a good job of communicating to our families and to our public in very clear, concise ways when they are accessible and when they can get information and actually process it and then deal with it in their own family structure. So I applaud the effort, but I think that is one message that I would like to leave you with, is how do we make sure that every student has access to this information and this opportunity early enough on so that they can make the proper decisions earlier and take advantage, instead of some kids just being innately more prepared to access the scholarships when the time comes. So that would be that. The other thing that I have a question on is when you say an accredited institution of higher education, what does that mean?
Representative Bills.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dietrich. To your question on access, I would completely agree, and I didn't mean to say that only online components should be there. And I also think in terms of going through this with my eighth grade daughter and registering for ninth grade and seeing how you fill out your four-year plan and everything, I think that possibly what we do as a legislature needs to find its way into some of that material. I know that reading through that with her 2 weekends ago, there was nothing in there about, feel that somewhere down the line you'd like to graduate early, you should probably do A, B, and C, or these are your options. I think that could definitely be a component put out there and would help counselors, the limited number, but would help them to get that word out. And then lastly was the institution of higher learning would be a...
What is that definition?
Any accredited institution of higher learning is trade school, tech school. I believe that is, as it's stated here, in-state, out-state. So I believe it's open up to any higher ed organization or entity that has an accreditation.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. And then I do, Mr. Chairman, I have one other third comment. As we're talking about this and unfolding it and talking about the role of the Department of Education and applying for this and then the department does this and that, it worries me once again that we're falling into old traps, and that is enlarging government, making more bureaucracy, those types of things. And so I was just trying to think, I don't think that's reason enough not to support the bill, but I was trying to think of what other options might be available. And so I was wondering, would a better structure be, and I don't expect you to answer this right now, but just to think about it into the future, would a better structure be is for the department to engage in a contract with those who supply the 529 accounts. And then the student would apply to the department, they have the okay, and then they can go ahead and enroll, and then just like a lot of other children who go to institutions of higher education, then you apply for your 529 money. Once you have verification that you have enrolled, and then they just send you your check, as opposed to creating another layer of government and larger government and more bureaucracy within the Department of Education. So that would be my last point. Thank you.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Chair. This question maybe is more for your students than for you, Representative Bills.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. Isn't that nice? Do you have any sense for, I'm curious to know what your feeling is about how this would maybe encourage some kids, more kids, to stay in school and not drop out?
Mr. Chair and Representative Fabian, I think it would definitely keep the motivation to stay in school because you have more option to make money. And I mean, a high school, everybody needs a job, everybody wants to go out and have money to do things. That's like the number one thing on your mind. You can go out and do stuff. So to be able to have this extra reserve, I mean, then it's thinking like some kids I knew who didn't finish high school so they could go and be like a mechanic and stuff like that. Well, now you have an incentive to stay because you can have your college paid for. Because if you drop out of high school, if you're working at a lower level mechanic shop, you're basically going to get the same job if you have your high school degree, or you don't. So if you have the incentive to stay, then you can get your college paid for. Well, then you can get a higher end job, and you have more motivation to do so.
Representative Fabian.
No, just one other comment. I am so happy to hear you say that the number one thing on your mind is making a better life for a high school student. That's pretty mature. Thank you, college student.
Representative Grantley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, as Representative Brainerd said, I apologize for my tardiness, so this may have been already discussed. But this was a bill that you probably did discuss, that we discussed last year, and I came to see that that it probably didn't do a lot of harm because I didn't think a lot of students would actually use it. Hopefully, I agree with Representative Slocum, if we're going to have this bill, we really, really need counselors because students need to understand that for most students, this is a very bad deal. You could currently use post-secondary enrollment options and get your full amount of tuition paid for. And this bill, these are very small scholarships for some schools compared to that amount. And so the money that's being saved by paying for scholarships of this magnitude is saved on the back of students who could have had more had they participated in PSEO instead. So we need counselors to explain this to students in case they might think this was a really, really good deal. I do think Representative Briner's concern that it's less money for early childhood and all-day kindergarten programs is a concern, but because, as I said, I don't think a lot of students would actually do this, then I think that's probably minuscule. I was convinced, you know, maybe I heard this student's testimony here today, and I always love to hear from students, so I'm sorry I missed your testimony. There are, you know, a few students that perhaps would somehow benefit more by graduating early and getting scholarships, and we heard from one of those last year, too. But really, most students should, I think, use PSEO, which is a much better deal, and that's why there's a savings to the state here from students getting a less good deal had they used that. And then also not giving districts the money for early childhood and all-day kindergarten. So I don't think it makes a lot of difference, but I think we really need to advise people.
Representative Bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Greiling, and again, I hear your concerns, and some of the testimony was that we have a student who graduated early and did not go on to college. This scholarship would allow her to go back, and she works for her own family business, and that would allow her to go back and take some business classes that she didn't have on her radar and wasn't going to use PSEO. And I think also, you know, when they went through testimony, something else that could have been alluded to is, you know, this might not be necessarily for the AP, the CIS, the International Baccalaureate, the PSEO student, again, the kids who just don't have that on their radar, who might take advantage, again, of the Chrysler certification program. This is not necessarily... yes, absolutely, and Annie wants to speak, too. But, again, when you're dealing with the end of the achievement gap in the 12th grade, again, I just think that we should have everything, every tool we can in the toolbox for every kid of every socioeconomic class, that if they're ready to move on and they're intellectually capable and again have met all of the standards that we've laid out, that they have that option of getting out and furthering their education and spreading their wings. But I'll let Annie speak to it.
Hi, Mr. Chair. As a PSEO student, obviously he's not knocking the PSEO, and I fully support PSEO, and I loved it. I loved my experience. I was really lucky, whereas I grew up in a really small town, but I had the University of Minnesota Morse to go post-secondary at. I knew I wanted a four-year education, and that's what I wanted to do. There was other students in my class who also did post-secondary at Ridgewater in Willmar, Minnesota, which is an hour away. But there was a point where these are kids who know what they want to do. They want to farm for their families, and there's no reason they're not going to do PSEO. They know they want to go to college eventually, but they're not learning anything from high school anymore, and they would really benefit from this option. I don't know what else. Thank you.
Yeah. Representative Greiling, did you have a follow-up?
Mr. Chair, no, I stand by my comment. I said I don't think this bill does a lot of harm. I question if it's going to gain as much savings to the state as we think here, because I think most students would see that PSEO is a better financial advantage, but I don't dispute that there are a few students, and it appears that we have them here today, that would prefer this. And I think options are fine, but I just hope we don't have some students thinking, oh, good, I'm going to do this, when they could have been financially a lot better off to do PSEO.
And Representative Greiling, we mistakenly advised the minority yesterday that there are no amendments to this bill. Representative Bills has two amendments, but I've advised the committee that we're not going to move forward on these unless you say it's okay. And it's not that big of a deal. We're laying the bill over. But that was the same respect you showed to me last session. And I'm just wondering if you could just take a minute to look at those amendments and let us know if that's okay or not. If you prefer
Thank
to do
you,
it
Mr.
later.
Chair. I've already looked at them. And furthermore, Representative Kelly gave me advice that that's what you had said before I got here, and I have no objection to your doing your amendments this time or later, either one.
So Representative Bills, I'll take Representative Woodard, Representative Erickson, Representative Anzels, and then we'll move on to the amendments.
Okay, well, I'll be brief. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Bills, are you the time frame associated with this, how long can people take to apply for these scholarships? Have you thought through that, please?
Mr. Chair, Representative Woodard, I believe the way it is written, and I would defer to Mr. Strom if he could, but I believe that even someone, you know, someone like Mariah, who waited 5-6 years, could still go back and apply for the scholarship. It would not prorate or inflation adjust or anything. Am I correct, Mr. Strom, in saying that?
Mr. Strom. Mr. Chair, I think there are a couple of issues here. If you look at the last page of the bill, it adds this amount into the open and standing appropriation. So the scholarship level for those that qualify would be there essentially until they use that money. There's no limit that it need to be used in the next year or two. But in terms of whether it would apply to people who have already graduated or not, I think the language in the bill on that refers to a student applying for the early graduation incentive, and it's not clear to me that the bill itself is addressing that. I think the language isn't there to say definitively one way or another. So under the current language, if the commissioner said anyone that graduated after 2009 could apply, I think that would fit the language in the bill, but it doesn't speak directly to that. It's to the extent that it's effective for fiscal years 12 and later, it's not clear to me that someone who's already graduated could go back and claim that. So I think that's an area where the bill probably needs to be cleaned up a bit.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, just one quick follow-up too, and this may be for Mr. Strom, and that is that when we look at the fiscal note, it talks about one additional headcount. This goes to Representative Dietrich's question about growing the Department of Education. When the fiscal note shows that there will be an additional employee, does that mean the bill automatically requires that the MDE put on another headcount, or can we challenge the department to, because we're talking about 300 checks a year at $107,000 a year, I'll take that job for writing 300 checks.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Woodward, when fiscal notes are issued, when they have an agency cost in it, that's the agency's best guess what it will cost them. You're not required to pay for that cost if you don't want to. Essentially, you can give the agency the function without providing additional funds to perform that function. We had this discussion a few weeks ago with the rules debate. If assumption is made that a rule costs $40,000 for an agency to adopt, if the committee chooses not to appropriate any money for it, that bill can still go forward. So that's not mandatory in the sense that you wouldn't need to appropriate $100,000 for that purpose. The department may well tell you that we'll have to cut another process or another person in a different area if we're going to do that function, but that's internal to the department and not a requirement for you as legislators.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Woodard.
Thank you.
And members, obviously, if this was retroactively Representative Bills, that's currently not accounted for in this fiscal note, so if that change was made, presumably there would be numerous students retroactively who would apply for the scholarship, and that would dramatically change the fiscal note.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and why it should be cleaned up. So.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if I really have a question for you, Representative Bills, but in our discussion about how do we disseminate this information, because I recall when PSCO was enacted, it was very slow on the part of some districts to tell their students and teachers about that program. But I'm thinking, you know, the rock stations that our young people listen to. Before Christmas, the DNR was actively advertising on 108. And so, you know, you get an ad on a radio station, the kids hear it, you refer them to a website, and you just use technology that's available through the MDE and facilitate that application and get them going on this. And those are just the students who I think will be tuned in to some of these rock stations. So let's think out of the box and use what we have available and make sure they know about it.
Representative Bills, is FM 108 a rock station?
No. That was for me. That was for an old-timer listening to the DNR's ads over the Christmas holiday. But no, for them.
Just kidding. Representative Anzels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I must say that I'm so impressed with your testifiers, Representative Bills. Gives me hope and confidence as we go forward. Really, sincerely, thank you for coming. I hope we don't have unintended circumstances and developments here. I hope and trust we don't do any harm. And, you know, I have to say, you know, social development, interaction with peers, the opportunity for kids to be kids, the opportunity for kids to learn from each other and participate and be part of culture in public schools where we learn from each other and we have all those nice interactive things. I worry a little bit that we're rushing our young people out the door, but you've done a good job. You've got a good bill, and I hope it works.
Representative Bills, if you could please move and describe the A1 amendment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. The A1 amendment.
Yeah.
I have to find here. Paper shuffling. What the A1 amendment does, Mr. Chairman and committee members, and I believe Mr. Hagelin here spoke to it, is it allows for early grads who actively or in reserve fashion deploy or are involved with longer than 30 days with their basic training, they're going to a military academy or other required duty, including deployment, that it allows for this scholarship amount, depending on the trimesters or semesters of early graduation, it allows for that amount to actually be presented to that individual.
Thank you. Members, Representative Bills moves the A1 amendment to House File 257. Is there any discussion or questions on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. And Representative Bills moves the A2 amendment to the A2 amendment, Representative Bills.
And actually, Mr. Chair, I selected the A1 amendment, and I did not realize that I had to move them both. I had a preference for one, and I'm so sorry. I did not realize that we included them both. I thought it was that I had to choose between them, so I apologize for my freshman mistake. Could you please instruct me in terms of if I have to move them both or if I can just move the one.
Right. Representative Bills, you can move each amendment individually.
I would prefer to only move the A1 amendment.
Okay, so you do not want to move the A2 amendment?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you. So the Representative Bills, the A1 amendment will likely impact the fiscal note, so we'll request staff to make the necessary updates so we can get a new fiscal note on that. Any final discussion on House File 257? Representative Ward and then Representative Loon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Bills. Thanks for bringing this forward. But I just wanted to be clear you mentioned that 1.4 million savings was your treat. No, just want to make sure that the treat is a palatable treat, kind of, Representative Bills. So thank you for the bill, but we'll be looking forward to your treat.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Warden, really thought there would be no hazing, but that's okay. I was told this facility and institution was much like high school, and I'm glad to see that it is. So wonderful.
Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Bills, you're getting off pretty easy, actually. I just wanted to congratulate you on a really well thought proposal. And you know, as a parent with a high school senior right now, I do know. I mean, this isn't going to appeal to every student and every family, and maybe not even a lot of them. But as you know, testified by the students who are here, there is a segment of students for which this is going to be the right thing. And I just applaud you for kind of thinking outside the box and bringing forward this option. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Bills renews his motion to have House File 257 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you very much. And Also, the Representative Myra will move adoption of the minutes from the February 8th meeting. Seeing any discussion? Any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. And members, if there's nothing else, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.